personally struggle with is the concept of justice on this earth. Because no matter what, we like to think we live in a country where people always receive justice when crimes are done, that the guilty parties pay and the innocent are exonerated. And you know that doesn't always happen. You know that even in civil matters, people take advantage of other people. Let's get away from all the legal court stuff, just ordinary between people, how injustices are done. People are picked on in school, and justice is not done. And assaults happen, and justice is not done. And we cry. We cry. This is one of the things the Lord cried against the Israelites for, where they were not doing justice to the afflicted, to the widow, to the fatherless, and keeping their cause well. And when you look across the nation and you see this happening, it makes you sick to your stomach, and you have the tendency of wanting to take revenge, retribution in your own hands. And we know as believers we can't do this, and we need the scriptures to help us through this time. And those of you who have been seriously injured by a parent, by another loved one, by a spouse, by a boss, by a close friend, all this falls into the same category, that we need somehow to roll this over on our Lord so it doesn't bring us down. We need to find freedom from our past hurts, our injuries, the feelings of injustice that have happened to us or to someone else. And let me say this to you, that sometimes watching someone else go through an injustice is harder than us experiencing it for ourselves. You want to know why that is? Because God gives us as believers the grace to hold on to Him so that we may be able to go through it for ourselves. But if we see someone else, particularly a loved one, or someone else, sometimes it's harder because that same kind of grace is not quite there. So we extend ourselves over too much into other business that is under God. And this is a difficult thing. And there's not better passages in the world. Dear words, dear Ellen's not here memorizing those Psalms so beautifully. But there's two Psalms back to back that deal with this issue. Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. I tend to think it's probably not by coincidence that those two Psalms, 73 and 37, both deal with that. We're going to look at both today, but primarily today, Psalm 37. So if you turn in your Bible, turn there, and we'll read verse 1 and 2 and then pray. We'll read verse 1 and 2 and then pray. Now, it's a long Psalm, so we're not going to cover every verse, but we're going to cover the main verses. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. Read with me if you would. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious, jealous of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Let's pray. Father, we pray you would give us unction, Lord, according to your blessings, according to your giftings, according to your empowering, that we would be encouraged. Because one of the things we all struggle with here in this world is the idea that just injustice still has a lot of sway, even in the United States of America. No matter what perspective one comes from, there is injustice. And when you said, man's heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, he didn't preclude Americans and American form of justice and the United States of America from that. We are included. We are men and women. We are included, therefore, into that same terrible state, oh God. I pray that maybe through Psalm 37 that you would alleviate, that we'd be able to roll our anxieties and fears, our tendency to want to exact revenge on our own. Father, that you give us grace that we would be able to roll it onto you, sweet Lord. So be with us, O Lord, for there's not a person in here that hasn't experienced some form of injustice. and needs to roll it onto you, that burden onto you. I pray this, I thank you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Okay, let's take a look at this. I entitled this today, Admonition, because this is what the whole psalm is about. Admonition to trust God for His justice when there is no justice on earth. Very simple. The whole psalm admonishes, exhorts people to trust God for Him to do justice when there is no justice on earth. Now, it's kind of long, but it's very simple. Again, verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And the first exhortation is right here in verse 1 and 2, not to give in to fear and anxiety. Stated there in verse 1, do not fret. Now, a particular Hebrew stem that this word usually is, it means to become angry. So you could erroneously translate this, do not become angry. That certainly is what a lot of us do. But here in this particular stem, it needs to become very nervous. Nervous frenzy. Like when the bottom of your life drops out. Like when you're about to do something extremely important and everything goes wrong. Like technical problems and you're ready to scream, but even worse, you get into a nervous frenzy. And how much more does that happen when we see an injustice coming? When we watch an injustice in front of you and you feel like, God, where are you? This person is prevailing. Things shouldn't be happening this way. This is not right. This is not fair. And we live in a country where it's true. Better than a lot of places, but it's still true here. Do not get this nervous frenzy when you see an injustice happening. Injustice is out there. Now, Psalm 11:3 says pertinently, and we feel this way, what can the righteous, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's how we feel. If what the solid rock we believe in truth and justice in this country, what this country supposedly lies upon, what we see injustice, it's like the foundations are being destroyed. If God does not intervene immediately, come on now. If God does not intervene immediately, which He doesn't always do, we feel like our foundations are being destroyed. Well, God, don't you care? And we're tempted this way. The scriptures are replete with examples like this. We look at those persecuted Christians. I notice I pick up Voice of the Martyrs, and I thank God for Lonnie and Ronnie's ministry that he did last week and what they do. I pick up Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and I see these precious Pakistani Christian family coming out with charcoal on their face, having their houses burned in torment and terror, absolute terror, holding their precious children. Their faces, you can tell, are faces of angels living in that part of the world. Being persecuted by Muslim fanatics who wish they were dead and burn their homes and sometimes kill them. And we in this country, me, Lonnie, I know others, pick up those things and see that and they say, God, I want to hate these people. I can't stand what they're doing. Where is your justice? The Bible says here, do not fret. Do not get nervously angry or anxious when you see this kind of thing happens. And let's extend this beyond just the obvious courtroom scene or persecution of Christians. Let's extend it to every aspect of life. Have you had injustices done by your parents? Were your parents perfect? Were there times where they broke their promises? Were there times where they didn't treat you the way you should be treated? I remember that statement of orphanage, nursery in Africa, where the missionary walks into the room and there's countless infants and it's dead silent. Dead silent. And I don't know about you guys, if you've raised any children, infants are rarely silent in a whole room. The missionary asked, why are all these infants silent? He said, because when they first come in, they start crying incessantly. But eventually they realize after crying for days that no one is coming. And when those precious children grow up, there's something missing inside of them. You can look in their eyes and go right down and see the darkness in their poor, poor souls. It's injustice. And they grow up and sometimes they become criminals. Or they have an extremely difficult time with relationships, with attachment, with trust, issues of trust. Terribly so. The injustices that are done. Maybe some of you experience those things by your parents. or parents by your children, wounded, hurt. Don't my children know that this day of the year, my birthday, or Father's Mother's Day, or whatever, Christmas, that I would want to hear from my own children and how it hurts so badly? How about your spouse? Have you been hurt by your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend? Do you feel the sting that sometimes happens in relationships? The disappointments and the heartbreaks, the betrayal that happens occasionally? Or by the fact that maybe there's not infidelity of that sort, but what about this person you married is a monster and you never knew that, you didn't realize it, and every day you're walking on eggshells. Every day you don't know what's going on. It's injustice. How about your boss? By and large, I've had a few good bosses. By and large, I'll say this unfortunately, by and large, a lot of them weren't worth the powder and shot to take to shoot them, using terminology my grandmother. By and large, they weren't worth the powder and shot to take to shoot them. Slightest provocation. Going off, I've had Christian bosses, extremely disappointing, because they had been mistreated in their life, and they tell you about it. I had one Christian boss once tell me all about how he was, you know, he was a pastor, and he was picked on by his congregation and kind of abused and this and that. Well, you'd think he'd have compassion then on those people he's working with. There's a statement Bill Gothard said, and that's absolutely true. We become like those we hate. You hate someone and don't deal with that offense, you become just like them. True. The victim becomes the villain. Now, let me ask you this. You've heard the statement. Wounded people wound people. Hurt people hurt people. So now I'm going to ask you something. I've said this about, ask you, you know, mentioned you, that you've been hurt. I'm sure most of us have. But let me ask you this, and on the other side, how many of you wounded people, listen to me, how many of you hurt people have hurt other people because of it? How many of you wounded people have wounded other people because you've been wounded? The very thing that you cry and complain about what happened to you, you don't really realize that you have done to other people because you didn't appropriate God's grace to be able to get healing and forgiveness inside for it. I know I have hurt other people. I know I have wounded other people because they pushed my buttons. And I went off on them just with all this nonsense in my mind going back like it happened a moment ago, offense that took place, and I related the two incidences, and this person received injustice by me. Why? Because the injustice was done to me and I didn't appropriate that grace. So, yes, I think most of us probably here and here have done that. So the scripture here, the admonition is, do not fret because of these injustices, because specifically here of evil doers. And he says, nor be envious. Now, why would somebody become jealous over someone else that does evil? Well, when you see that person who's so free to do evil with no repercussions, they do it with impunity, you say, well, Lord, maybe it's profitable for me. Maybe I should go mess over someone. Maybe I should be cruel and mean, uncaring. The other day I was in... I did a bus trip out in Oswego. I parked my bus in downtown Oswego. There was a subway across the street, so I went into the subway, opened my laptop, and was doing some work there. And there was one girl behind the counter, a little bit cool when I went to order for a couple of different things, but this young African-American, maybe pregnant woman came in, she's probably 20 years old, just asked to use the bathroom, wasn't causing any problem. And just the coldness on this, no, I don't know, well, maybe they've had a lot of problems, I don't know. It seemed to me like. But, you know, life is too short to be unnecessarily mean to someone because you're right about something. Isn't life a little too short for that kind of thing? You just feel the injustice. But here, do not envy or be jealous. Let me read you a few scriptures here. Psalm 42, just to open it up. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they save me all day long, where is your God? Furthermore, Psalm 73, this is good, because it goes right along with what this Psalm 37 is talking about. verses 1 through 7, I'm going to read it. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boat at the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than their heart could wish. And remember what Matthew, the gospel, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. Right at the height of your feeling of injustice done to you, and you're a believer, and you want to do his will first, remember these words. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beloved, I want to tell you something for the believer. We're called to a higher life. We're called to receive a higher blessing, a spiritual blessing. We're called to be above the ordinary righteousness. We're called to have a heavenly righteousness. We're called to inherit all the good things that he has for us. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, eternal bliss in his presence. The things that David mentions and sings about all every single Sunday. But it also comes with Christ here on this earth that we are also called to endure the injustices without taking revenge on our own or without losing it totally. The scripture says, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I say that tongue in cheek because I know better than anyone that when I feel like that guy I talked to one time, funny African-American guy, he was talking about Christianity. He said, I'm not like that. You kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. And that's the kind of way that most of us, really, honestly, we want to be. And God understands that. When we go to him and place it to him. And I'm going to talk a little bit of very interesting things here when we get into these verses about how to do that. But going back, reading again. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And it gives the reasons why not to fret and be jealous. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. And this wither is just like a flower that just fades. One day they're there, and the next day they're gone. And people, sadly, that's how life is. I have a friend of mine who, we were in martial arts together when we were in high school, and he's a good athlete, and he was a good friend of mine, and went to be a podiatrist out in the Ohio, western Pennsylvania area, Ohio. And here I look, I didn't realize a year ago, I see his obituary, 54 years old. He overcame cancer, but it came back apparently and killed him, 54 years of age. And all that memory, all that athleticism, all that attaining and learning, love it. And I don't feel that old, but it was like yesterday, and it's all gone. We're here, flowers one day, and wilted the next. From God's perspective, it's a flash in the pan. It's there, and then it's gone. And what he's saying is, these people who do injustice and have their way on this earth, it's for a very short time, but eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I remember one kid in school, I won't mention his name, he was maybe a year or two older than me, big strappy kid. Kid had to be in his 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", something like that. Huge kid. But he was a brutal guy. I remember times where he beat people up half his size, unprovoked. The slightest provocation, really injuring, hurting other people. Well, that young man didn't live that long. Killed in a car crash when he was a young man. And everything about him now is forgotten. He's gone. All his fierceness, all his injustice is gone. Just like a drop of stone in the water, it makes ripples, and then when it's gone, it's gone. And what he is saying is, don't be fret. Don't get nervous in a nervous frenzy. Don't be envious and jealous of them, because just like that, they're going to be gone. And it's the way it is. Now, some more admonitions here in verses 3 through 8. This gets kind of interesting here. So read with me. And I entitled this, I've entitled this, 13 commands to trust that the Lord will do justice in his time. 13 commands in these verses here, in verses 3 through 8. So read with me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. There are 13 imperative verbs there for us to trust in the Lord, and different verbs expressing different ideas in it. And we're going to take a look. First of all, it said, first of all, feed. Feed, trust in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land. And this is interesting, dwell. There's nothing else we can do, people. Injustices happen. What can you do? Right before you can continue to live. You cannot let that person take away your reason for being. And the idea here is there, stay there. Live. Live your life in Christ regardless, and he will bring you through. Now he says, feed. And this is interesting. Feed on the Lord. This is actually a pastoral type of verb. It means to bring sheep out to graze, or when sheep are grazing. So it's interesting. He's calling us like sheep. Graze. Dwell in this land. Continue to live your life and feed. Graze on the Lord's faithfulness out. Get your tunnel vision off the insult. Tunnel vision off the injury that someone else did to you. And put it on the Lord himself. I know I'm as human as you. Probably worse. If you only knew me. Yeah. But somewhere along the line, somewhere we got to hold onto that, grab like that woman grabs the hinges of our garment and say, Lord, I need you. We're not going to do it our way, like that woman did. She had a good idea. But when you come to the Lord, it's eye-to-eye contact. The only way you come to him, even though she was blessed. Feed on his faithful. Now this is interesting here. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The context of this, you've heard it said, and people use it kind of in a formula, a formulaic. That is, all I have to do is delight myself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of my heart. Perhaps. I'm not saying he won't. I think it's a good thing to do. But the context of here is delighting yourself in the Lord while this terrible thing is going on. Delight yourself in the Lord. And this is interesting. This word delight means to pamper oneself. Now, the Lord's not going to use those verses a lot with us, because the flesh loves to be coddled. But in this case here, what he's saying, when you feel that injustice and the injury, he's saying, feed on his faithful and pamper yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Take pleasure in what he has done for you, what he's going to do for you, your mind on him, what he is going to do. Do that. And he says, he will give you the desires of your heart. It will come through. People, if you've never experienced this, if you've never laid down your rights to the Lord when an offense happens, it's miserable. I can't stand it. I hate it. But it is the fastest way to grow deep in him. You want to overcome your flesh? Die to self. You got bad habits you want to cure? Die to self in this kind of way. It's crucifixion, brother. It's a miserable murder, sister. But it's what he called us to do. Because though our outward man perish, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen?
Amen.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart when this happens. And it will. And I think, realistically speaking, he's talking about justice down the line. When those godly people who have faced such injustices sit back, when they have the patience of the Lord and see things from an eternal perspective, even if the injustice is not taken care of, the injustice continues, or the offense is not, justice, in other words, has not been meted out for a long period of time, they have an eternal perspective, and they know what's going to happen. And when it does, there is no turning back. It's forever. A beautiful thing. Should rephrase that. The most beautiful thing in the world is that our salvation is forever and ever and ever and ever. And the worst thing in the world is that punishment, hell, is forever and ever and ever. Amen? Now, some more interesting things here. He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it back. This is interesting. Commit your way to the Lord. Literally, this Hebrew verb means to roll, like a roll stone. You would use it, it's called gal, the Hebrew word gal. Roll stone. Figuratively, it's used to roll your problems onto the Lord. Why this thing about roll? Because with the Lord, it's possible. Roll it on him. For example, in Joshua 5:9, it says this word is used. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach from Egypt. I've rolled it off to you, Joshua. Therefore, the name of this place will be called Gilgal. God there. To the Spirit. Psalm 22:8, when David was praying, the fact of Jesus being on the cross, his accusers standing on the ground looking at him on the cross said, he trusted on the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Isn't that prophetic? But this word trust, the Hebrews used to roll. He rolled his problems onto the Lord. It's not only the Hebrews use this interesting figurative expression to trust the Lord. He rolled his problems on the Lord. He trusted, let him rescue him since he delighted in him. How interesting is that? And then Psalm 119:22, remove from me, the psalmist prays, remove from me the reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimony. Roll it off of me, O God. Take it away. You know what I remember in science class, there's two types of energy. Kinetic, Dave, help me. Static energy and kinetic energy.
Potential and kinetic.
Potential and kinetic? Okay. Yep. It's a whole lot easier to move, if this thing is going here, to push it a little bit as it's moving, as opposed to get it to move in the first place, right? It takes more energy to get something to move rather than to get something to start moving. You know what I'm saying? So don't hold up. The idea here is, yeah, and I like this imagery for that reason, rolling, because it's possible. If we're able to do that, the Lord is present there. We'll roll it on him. Beloved, roll your problems on the Lord. The things you have extreme difficulty with. You're not an island. You can't take it. Some of you just kind of like to hold on to it. You like to lick your wounds. I guess we all like to do that, honestly, don't we? Woe is me. Pity is the most ignoble act we can do, and yet we do it to ourselves all the time.
Amen.
Love to lick our wounds, but someone else did it. Roll that onto the Lord and get rid of it. This is the admonition here. He says, continuing, commit your way, roll your way, roll your problems onto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday.
Yes.
He said, unless your righteousness, Jesus said, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That we are called to a higher calling, beloved. And here it is. He shall bring it to pass and bring your righteousness. I said that to say that when we do suffer and sacrifice this way, he will bring our righteousness. He'll shine it to our light when we're willing to give our problems over to him. He says, rest in the Lord. This word here is to be still. Be silent. And the next verb is very interesting. The English never brings this out. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know this word, wait patiently, literally means when a woman is giving birth, she's terrified, she's giving birth, and she's writhing in fear as she's about to give birth. And my wife says I'd never be able to give birth. But that isn't the point. I don't have to, so it's not. But if you've gone under the knife, and you're sitting there, you're alone, you're sitting there on the table, I have my knee operated on, my appendix operated on, and there you're sitting there, you're writhing, you're nervous, you're anxious, and a woman who's about to give birth doesn't know what's going to happen. And it's an incredibly fearful time. The Lord is saying to you, that is going to happen to you when you face injustice. You will be like this woman in fear because you have no one to go to. You're all alone. You're writhing in fear. You're incredibly anxious. And this is the word that's used here to say, wait patiently. Endure that process because you're going to see your justice come through eventually in his time and his way. very interesting that the words they use here for this. Do not fret. The same word here used earlier. Do not get anxious, nervous, frenzied because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And the next point we'll do is the fate of the unjust. What happens when people don't appropriate God's grace? What happens when people are continually unjust and do things? Well, it says here in verses 9 through 11, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. And he's saying here, when people don't appropriate God's grace, the victim becomes the villain. How many times do people who have been abused as children, sexually and otherwise, turn around and abuse other people? The door has already been opened for them. How many times has some child who's been been treated, not just normal, appropriate punishment, corporal punishment, but excessive, harsh, uncalled for, ungodly, unkind, violent? How many times do they go out and do that to other people? You take a look at these people who have committed these horrible atrocities, and oftentimes you'll find something in the root there. And when we don't appropriate this, where it says, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm, it's warning us that we could become like those we hate and be consumed with it. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. The drop in the lake will happen. The ripples are there, and you feel them now. You feel like you're on the East Coast in Jersey, and the waves are coming to just knock you right over. But soon, but that's not the way it is. That's from our perspective. From God's perspective, it's a stone in the water. Drop, and it will be done. But the meek, and this is an interesting word. The meek here is literally someone who's bowed down. The meek, someone who is bowed down. And fools take meekness for weakness. But God doesn't. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Look at this. But the meek, the bowed down, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And the same word delight is the same word we used earlier. To delight yourself in the Lord when all these horrible things are happening, find reasons to rejoice in God at that time. And he says, later, you will delight yourselves in the abundance of peace. Amen? Amen. One thing that's going to be beautiful about heaven, brother, listen to me, is that there will be no more strife. No more ambition that would cause division. No divisions. No factions. No misunderstandings. No disappointments there. Why? Because we will know even as we are known. All things will be clear. That part of our carnal nature, which Christ secured for us, will be blasted out of oblivion in us. Now, I'm going to continue to read. It's a long psalm, so I'm going to continue to read the rest of Psalm. And I'm just going to concentrate on one more verse. But reading in Psalm 37 from 10 and following. So read along if you want. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time as in the days of famine. They shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I saw him, and he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. And I'm going to end there. My family come from the South, originally from Virginia. There were those settlers who came in before the Revolution and probably indentured servants. I have no idea how they came, but before the Revolution, I've had some of my members fought in the Revolutionary War, and then not long after that, 100 years later, fought in the Civil War. And when I was in Middleburg, Virginia, I wanted to, my brother and I, who's interested in our genealogy, went to a little cemetery in Middleburg, Virginia. And there in the cemetery were some of our family members. And I could just feel, when I went over, one, it would be an uncle and his brother, who I descended from. The one I descended, great-great-grandfather, whatever he is, owned a store that the Federals burned down because they thought he was by night conspirator against the Federals. His brother was a colonel, and actually he was lived in Mississippi at the time and was in the Mississippi Regiment. He was killed in 1863. And we went to visit his grave. Unfortunately, they were on the wrong side. We know that because justice of someone's freedom. You can't claim freedom from one thing, and yet you're doing the same thing to other people. Okay? So they're wrong in that regard. But that doesn't mean that everyone who picked up arms realized what they were doing, nor the fighting for their brethren was an evil thing in and of itself. But anyway, when I went up to his grave, I found his grave, I felt drawn, and this happened to me a couple of times, I felt drawn to that, like he was a believer. I just knew it. And my grandfather died when I was young. He married my grandmother. Wasn't actually my blood grandfather, but my grandmother married again. That's the only grandfather I knew growing up. And I remember going to his grave as an adult, as a saved adult, and the same thing. I just felt drawn to his grave. Something is different about this. It was a spiritual connection. He was a believer. And I believe that colonel who died in that battle was a believer. And on his grave were these words here, verse 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. And while, yes, they made some serious mistakes in what they were fighting for, nevertheless, I truly believe that man is in heaven. His son came out and went to be a Supreme Court justice in the state of Tennessee. But to see that and to feel that and to know that, and I say that although he died a young death, he was fairly young and died that death, there is an eternal heaven waiting for him, and that is his inheritance. Because why? Because I can imagine as a colonel, as a commander, he treated his men the same way with the kind of respect that he would want to, and to do justice, at least to what he understood. So my brethren, there is an expectation to what you've gone through. Unfortunately, on this earth, it's harder to watch the injustice happen and not to be able to do anything about it. It's horrible, isn't it? And that's why we have a God where we take this to. For those of you applying this across the board, maybe you've been hurt by your parent or your child or some member of your family who abused you or your spouse or a boss or a close friend, you're called with a higher calling. I wish there was another way. We are called with a higher calling. And that means we take that and we lay it on the altar and leave it there and not let it direct and ruin our lives. We are called with a higher calling. If we want to sit back and just stew in our own juice, about what's happened to us, we can do that. But we're not, we're ripping ourselves off the joy of the victory that's there for us.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing to die to ourselves. Oh, it's horrible. The refiner's fire is horrible. And I like what Rick Warren said. The problem with living sacrifices is they like to crawl off the altar. I want to get off that thing faster than anyone. I can tell you that. But when growth happens, it's because we willingly stay there. Heavenly Father, I pray, may you add your blessing to this word. I pray you to encourage us, Lord, that when injustice is here, Father, more than anything, more than just a speech, when we know very well how difficult of a time we have of dealing when we see injustice on this world, I pray that you give us an eternal perspective. Father, an eternal perspective. Knowing that a day with you is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And though years go by and justice still isn't done, Lord, to you it's just, it's nothing. Lord and God, I pray, may you give us that hope, I pray, and let us hold on. For those people who have been wounded here, I pray, Lord God, that they would learn, they take the lemons and make lemonade. That they would take the injury, Father, and grow from it and become strong and use it to help other people. Lord, I pray this, you've given that vision and insight, and pray this. And for those people who don't yet, haven't yet tasted the goodness of our God, the preciousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he means to us. A new life in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that you would reveal that in their hearts, and they cry out to you, Father, when they're experiencing difficulty. I pray this, may it even be today in this service. I pray this and ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people.